machine who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Welcome to, finally, day one of the Cheltenham Festival as part of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We're finally here, and I'm delighted to say that Paddy Power and Ruby Walsh are going to join me, Patrick Kennelly, with a tip for every single race and a nap on day one of the Cheltenham Festival. Before I talk to the two boys, I just want to flag up something to watch out for. Every day of the festival, between 1 and 4 o'clock every day, we're going to have a watch along on our YouTube, Twitter channels, as well as Facebook. You've got day one, Charlie Nicholas, Phil Thompson, and Matt Letitia are going to be watching Cheltenham while you watch them. Watch Cheltenham. Get it? Watch along. These are the things that people do nowadays. Watch out for Alan Brazil later in the week. He's good crack. Peter Crouch as well on day four. So do tune into that. You can have ITV on, and then you can have the watch along on your phone or on your laptop beside you, and you can enjoy Cheltenham in the company of some big, big names. But Ruby, Paddy, I'll go to you, Ruby, first. You're there. Cheltenham, it's probably the weirdest Cheltenham atmosphere you've ever had.
You can say that again, Patrick, and double it, and probably treble that. It is so quiet here. So on Cheltenham, like, look, the place looks great. And I look, what am I saying? We're so used to it by now. I mean, we've watched FA Cup finals, Champions League finals, big golf tournaments. We've watched it all happen all year. And Cheltenham is no different. It's probably stranger for me now because you're probably involved in something. But I was at Leopardstown at Christmas, the Dublin Racing Festival, Galway last summer. I've been to all these already before with no one at them. And they are nothing like what you expect. The race and field sizes are probably down a little bit. No social runners. But I think the quality is still there, and that's what counts.
Exactly. Paddy, another preview. You psyched?
I am psyched, actually. Yeah, every year it's probably the same. Like when you come to Cheltenham, you have your mind made up when you've kind of studied in inverted commas. You've been listening to people who know more than you, basically, and you've got your picks made, if you like. And then it does something bloody stupid. Like there's always either a big non-runner or the ground is softer than you expect. Now you don't know what the ground's like. And I'm going to be saying, Ruby, did you walk the course? And all that kind of stuff. And Ruby go, I don't bloody well know. Let's have a look at the times after the Supreme. Because like a lot of the horses I picked, of course, probably I was thinking about drying ground, you know, and now it looks like it might be softer than that. So just Cheltenham always does this to me. Just gives me a right kick up the arse the last minute. So, but we'll see. We'll see.
Ruby, before we get stuck into the Supreme, the going has changed to soft, good to soft in places. Have you been out? Does it feel like that?
Yes. I always wonder why people ask everybody else's opinion on the ground when the clerk of the course, the man who is paid to do the job, who is here 365 days a year looking at it, minding it, and calls it, and then everybody else goes, well, what's your opinion? Yeah, gives a shit what my opinion is. The man in charge is called it. Simon Glaze is telling you what the ground is. Take the man for his word.
Well, some trainers don't take the going descriptions. We go back to December.
Can I just ask Ruby, do you know the way like we say, it's not Irish soft, or do you know that kind of way? There's a bit of winter soft and that kind of stuff. Like, is it as soft as Dublin Racing Festival, for example, or something like that?
Yeah, it would. It's probably around there. But Paddy, the sun is shining here today, and the wind is blowing, and the wind is the key thing. More so than even the sun. Like, it'll be definitely a good bit drier by tomorrow morning.
Okay, let's talk the Supreme Novice Hurdle. It's due off at 120. It's the first race of the Cheltenham Festival. If you haven't already, and you're a paddypower.com account holder, there's a free fiver bet in this race waiting for you. Do check all the details on paddypower.com. Free fiver bet for the first race on days one and two. Right, looking at the betting as we speak, appreciated 6-5 favourite. You've got then 9-2 for Metier, 11-2 Bally Adams, 7-1 Soaring Glory, double figure odds the remainder. Ruby Walsh, appreciate it. Is he going to get points off to fire?
He could do. Very, really, really could do. I mean, for pleasure, is the missing piece in the jigsaw. For Paul Townend anyway, because for pleasure will front run and goes a really good gallop. That makes it so much easier for Paul Townend. He'll just book out down the inside, sit second in the box seat, by being that far forward, the other fancy ones will follow him for pleasure, will drag him, and it becomes a much easier race to ride. I think the most likely winner is Appreciated, and with the rain, I wouldn't put anybody off back in Blue Lord each way.
Willie Mullins, have a flyer, Paddy?
Funny, this is one of the ones where I thought, like, it gave terrible advice last week in some of the previews, because saying, you might get 2-1 Appreciated come today, because and even though the bookies will be extra generous tomorrow morning, I don't think we'll be getting near 2-1, because I actually never crossed my mind about the lack of social owner just keeping field sizes down and stuff, which is significant. But it does look like it's all coming into plan for Appreciated. But I've been kind of a fan of Ballyadam for a while, and I think that Ballyadam could actually reverse the form of Appreciated. I know it would probably want a bit better ground, but I'm just taking into account that when he was with Gordon Elliott, the Elliott stable was a little bit quiet. Now he's obviously moved stables now, but regardless, the horse will be in better form now than they were earlier on the season. And I think that Ballyadam at about 11-2 or 6-1 may be a bit of a drifter because of the ground conditions, and that might be an overreaction. So I think that could be a little bit of value against Appreciated.
1-0 to Ireland, according to Paddy and Ruby. Move on to the Arkle. It should be 1-1 because Shishkin 1-2. No Energamine for him to beat on this occasion. All Mankind, Captain Guinness. They are the only three that count in the betting. 2 degree. Franco Laporte probably a little bit disrespectful there. Ruby, Shishkin?
I can't see beyond him. And I think were it not the Arkle chase, was it just a 2-mile novice chase, he'd be even shorter.
Simple. Paddy, Simple. Are you posing Shishkin?
No. The Shishkin will win. I mean, like, All Mankind should set it up nicely for Shishkin, and I know Captain Guinness there's been a case made for that, but fell in the Supreme last year. It's a bit of an ask. I think Shishkin's a good thing.
You okay? You're not tipping up a Henry de Bromhead horse here, Paddy?
Yeah, it's okay. Feeling all right? Just don't tip Henry.
Okay, no surprise. 2 votes for Shishkin there. We'll move swiftly on to the Ultima, which is Big Handicap Chase. Extra place here in on paddypower.com. I write happy go lucky been a big talking horse over the last probably 48 to 72 hours. Ruby, your thoughts on the Ultima?
Yeah, and Frank Hickey sold Let Us Be Lucky to me last week, and he went into this in depth when we discussed this race, and I sat and listened to him, and he sold it to me, and I'm not going to change my mind now. Frank had all his homework done as usual, went back through all his runs. He was an unlucky fourth in last year's Martin Pipe. He's worked it all out. Frank is all over it. That'll do me.
Just like you, Ruby. Happy go lucky. Paddy?
I'm actually going for the one just below it in the race card, number 7, Al Nadam for the Skeletons. Bit of a step up and trip, but I think that'll be okay. The horse loves softish ground, so that should be in favour. And presuming it gets home in with the extra for 2.5 miles and on heavy ground, it's been winning on its night. 3 miles, won this race. So a bit of an ask, but Skeletons are in such good form. It's big price at 14-1. I'm going to take a chance and see how it's trip.
5 places, remember. So if you are taking an each way option, Al Nadam there for Paddy. Right, the big one on day one is the Champion Hurdle. And I suppose 4 or 5 months ago, if you'd said the best race on day one is going to be the Champion Hurdle, you might have thought, I don't know, it's looking a bit humdrum, but what a race we've got potentially in prospect. Honeysuckle, Epitant, the two mares at the top of the betting, Goshen back to form. We'll see how he goes as well. You've also got Abacadabra's Sharjah. Remember, not beaten far in the race last year. Ruby, this is a cracker.
Yeah, 10 runners, really good race, and it has everything. You have Goshen, Silver Streak, Aspire Tower, and Not So Sleepy. 4 horses who like the front run, so they'll guarantee a good gallop. You have a couple that'll sit just behind that, being probably Sally or James de Burley and Hundy Suckle, and you have a couple that'll drop in. Abacadabra Sharjah, Epitant, sorry, be the second row as well. So, like, the race has great shape. It has plenty of high-class horses. But I just think with the rain that's falling, slowing the ground a little bit, it's going to suit Goshen, but I think that also helps Honeysuckle. And I just think she's a better mare this year than she was last year. I really fancy her.
Ruby really fancies Honeysuckle. Paddy, who do you really fancy?
Well, I'm controversially going for the other mare, the reigning champ. I think Epitante, obviously I'm forgiving the turn up when it got beat by Silver Streak last time out. But again, I think the Henderson Yard was a little bit quiet then, and it had a bit of a back rub apparently. But just last year, the race was on softish ground as well. You would say she'd probably want better ground, but still, I think she's proven top quality. I know Honeysuckle's unbeaten as well. You can make a case for a few of them, but I just think Epitant might just be a little bit better.
And we've an extra place if you want to go each way in the champion hurdle. But the boys are on the mares, Ruby with Honeysuckle, Paddy on Epatant. We move on to the mares hurdle. Obviously, Willie Mullins has got an unbelievable record in this race, and Concertista bidding to win. Well, Ruby, we've talked about her quite a bit. Some people wanted her in the champion hurdle. She's in the mares. She's favoured. But perhaps unsurprisingly, she's got Roxana to beat.
Yeah, and I don't think she should be in the champion hurdle. I don't think she has any piece of form that suggests she could be running in the champion hurdle. She won the Mayor's Novice Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. She beat Dolcita. Dolcita can't be found this year. She's beaten Manila Melody in her two runs in Ireland. I think once horses win, people just think, oh, put them in the best race. To me, you had to always earn the right to run in the champion hurdle. She hasn't yet. And I could see why they did the same with Honeysuckle last year. She barely beat Petty Mouchoir in the Irish Champion Hurdle. They went to the Mayor's Hurdle. This year, she absolutely bolted in the Irish Champion Hurdle, and she's going to the Champion Hurdle. To me, you earn your right to run in whatever race you're running in, and I think Concertista is in the right race. But I think Roxana's form is stronger. There's no two ways about that. All her form this year is stronger. Third behind Thyme Hill and Paisley Park at Ascot. She won in Wetherby, where she beat Next Destination. Last year at Cheltenham, she was second. She was fourth in the Mayor's Hurdle last year behind Honeysuckle and Betty DeJew. I think her form, all of her form, is stronger. And I think she looks a really decent mare this year. I was impressed with her run in Ascot. I was impressed with her last start. I think she'd really give Concertista a race. I wouldn't be having a bet here.
Okay, so the price is kind of putting you off, Ruby, essentially?
I just think Concertista is short. You couldn't back Roxana each way. She's not long enough. And I just don't know where the value is. I know Willie has farmed this race, but I don't. Concertista is not, or hasn't yet proven she's Vroom Vroom Mag or Queen Vega or a Benny DeJew. She just hasn't achieved that yet. It's all on potential. There's none of it on fact.
Okay. All right. A little bit of cold water on Concertista there. Paddy, your thoughts on the mares?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be going against Concertista as well for basically price-based rather than fact-based, because I just thought it was a bit short and the race actually is a bit more depth than it has done sometimes in the past. But I actually think Black Tears as an each-way squeak, a bit of track form last year was placed in the Carl Cup, wasn't beaten too far, giving away weight. So I think Black Tears obviously likes the place at about 12-1. I think could be good each way, but
Black Tears for Denise Foster and Jack Kennedy. Right, that's the mares. On to the boodles.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
I think this is probably one of the best boodles. 141 tops the weights with Nassalam and Yumdor, one of many runners for Willie Mullins. So I'll have to start with you, Ruby. St. Sam is towards the top of the betting. Himself and Yumdor wouldn't be out of place in a normal Triumph hurdle. It shows you how good this one is.
Yeah, it is. But St. Sam has been well and truly held by Zanahir and Quilixius. So the logic is, how can you turn that form around with those? Well, if you can't beat those two, how are you going to win the Triumph? So he's in the Fred Winter, who agree, I think, is there on reputation. I didn't see it in Chepstow. Maybe he's improved a hell of a lot for Paul Nicholls, but he didn't do it for me. Bustleton will run a nice race for Joseph O'Brien. Riviera Detel most definitely has a chance. There's a lot of word around for Gloria Zoff. I don't really see it in his form. And Humidor has to jump better than he's jumped before. He's just about an each way price, saying Sam. But I think that's what you'd have to go. I'd be going with him. He stays strong, he'd be coming home. And as long as he doesn't get much shorter, I think he's an each-way price.
Well, we are six places each way. So St. Sam at an each-way price. Paddy, we've got six places. I hope you're going for something with double-figure odds. Come on.
Well, I was looking at Zafanian actually as one of my little maybe sneaky each ways at 16-1 for Dennis Hogan. That's Richard Johnson booked up on that. That's got a squeak, I think. But I'm happy to go based on no fact whatsoever, purely on tip and reputation for Hoogree. That's what I've picked out. I can't say it's a very, very strong fancy, but I'm just kind of lazily listening to the word.
the word. Well, Frank Hickey was very keen on Hoogree. He thinks that he is certainly well handicapped on that run in the finale. We move on to the National Hunt, which is used to be called the 4 miler, now the 3 mile five, 201 yarder, and the Sam Bestie National Hunt. Well, we got a bit of an interesting one in Next Destination coming in here, Ruby. Used to be, of course, trained by William Mullins, now with Paul Nicholls. We were expecting him in the race, formerly known as the RSA. Galvin, though, he's favoured. Ascaria 10 pops up here as well. This is a good renewal, I think.
It is, and I fancy Next Destination. I think is my best bet in the day. Like I would say to Shishkin, I think he's 7-2 compared to Appreciate in the first or Shishkin in the second. I really fancy this horse. He was head and shoulders above these as a hurdle horse. He's a dual grade woman and hurdler. He's 2-2 over fences. His first run for Paul Nicholls was in Wedderby when he finished second to Roxana. I think he's a cracking price. I'm all over him, Patrick.
Very interesting. Ruby, very keen on Next Destination. Paddy, your thoughts?
I completely agree. Yeah, I think it's an added bonus having it in, and maybe because it's a relative bit of a surprise that the horse is in the race, that the market was kind of settled around it. So it might just be a little bit big. I think it might end up going off close to favourite for the race. I agree, Next Destination looks the class in the race.
For the first time, you agree. Interesting. Right, let's get day one naps, folks. Paddy, I'll go to you first on this occasion. Your nap on day one.
My nap on day one is going to be, in the big race, Epitante.
Epitante, the mare to make it back-to-back champion hurdles. Ruby, your nap, I think I know what it's going to be, but just to confirm.
Next Destination, yeah.
I thought it might have been. Listen, thanks a million, guys. I hope you have plenty of winners. Best of luck with your bets. Do check out paddypower.com for all the details on those extra places that we've got on offer and a whole host of races and the free fiver bet we're offering in each of the first 3 days. Ruby and Paddy and myself will be back to look at day two. Do subscribe to the podcast. But until then, best of luck with day one.